I've been looking all over for you.
You've been looking in the wrong places.
That's good. Because I know you wouldn't want to hurt my feelings.
Good whiskey makes Jackrabbit slap to bear. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 100 and... Is it 15 or 16? Holy crap, let me just make sure. Verifying with the judges. Hold on. It's 116, everybody. Welcome to episode 116. My name is Scott Johnson, and joining me tonight is Brian Bug-Eyed Lady Chop to the Porno Man Gut Dunaway.
How appropriate. So about this week's movie starring Jean-Claude Van Damme, he just kicked that guy in the face. Sorry, running a little late this week, guys. Just finished up the movie. I will say this was interesting to see Yancey Butler in a film before her eye reduction surgery. Good job, Bug Eyes.
Oh, Bug Eyes. Also with us, Randy, bloody hand in the fishbowl, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott, Brian, Scott, Brian. Mm. Did you know that I used to run a Manhunt outfit? Yeah. It was all real hush-hush. We provided discriminating rich guys the opportunity to hunt down otherwise useless homeless people, complete with special prizes for marksmanship, endurance, and darkest sunglasses worn at night. They gave us a lot of money. We provided them with airtight alibis and bottled water with the cap already half twisted off. But then it all went to hell when we attracted this one particularly overzealous client, and soon there were no homeless people left. Damn you, Dick Cheney.
Right?
Lay blame where it belongs. All right, finally, Brian, punch the snake, Ibbot.
Oh, God, that's so appropriate. Mm. watching this, I was trying to figure out if this was either a Billy Ray Cyrus video or a Wrangler commercial. Mm-hmm. And so then when he punched a snake, I knew for sure. It was a Billy Ray Cyrus video. Oh, look, the 315 mattress train. It's right on time.
you were spot on tonight, Scott.
Wow, that's weird. We didn't plan
that. Check our notes.
Just so people know, when we come into this, we don't confer. We just
We have no idea what you're gonna.
Yeah, but I guess like minds and all that. Ladies and gentlemen, it's hard target.
Like now, minds think a grape.
Think a grape. Here's what I believe. I believe that Hard Target is one of my favorite movies of all time. Like, period. It is in my top 30. Let's say. Wow. And it's. It's also a place and time kind of problem that I have. It came out right when I was really into Hong Kong cinema and it hadn't really broken into the States yet. And John Woo was a thing that I loved and knew. And I'd seen Hard Boiled a bunch of times and other movies. And I just could not wait for him to come to the States. His very first film came and it went and it blew me away. And I still love it. But, you know, time has a way of chipping away some of the shiny, I don't know, place that I put this movie in, maybe in my memory. So we'll get into that some too. But I just want you guys to know before we get any further into the show, I have, do, and will always love Hard Target. Right. It's the best Van Damme movie ever made.
This is interesting. You're starting the show by basically saying, I defy you to convince me during this show that this is a shit movie. This is very interesting. I don't think you do this very often.
I don't. I'm super defensive right up front. It's to me, it is. It's even, I mean, it's kind of in that Waterworld thing that I have where I know that it's not great. I know it isn't somehow, but somehow it still is for me. For me, it is, and I don't know what it is about it. Something very specific about this movie, the vibe of it, the fact that I just want. Now, let's take everybody back for just a second to pre-90s action movies in the States. This sort of thing that he does here didn't exist here. We didn't have this right. kind of like, let's slow everything down to such slow motion that you can see that foot kick the guy's glasses off and see sweat fly in that direction. And let's do that all through the movie all the time. Let's have somebody put a knife into a piece of wood and have that have this enormous sound associated with it. Do that in slow motion and really punctuate otherwise silly, nonsensical, stupid things that people do in movies all the time. And then let's make that all into one big, throbbing, operatic action movie. And then let's put Arnold Vosloo in there as well and have him say things like, Boudreaux, 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 and then make my whole life better. Right. Like, it improved everything about me in action movies. And I couldn't wait. When I found out he was doing the second Mission Impossible, I about crapped myself. I was so excited. I think Face Off is in this list of top 30 movies. I freaking love Face Off. I love John Woo, and I love that stuff. And movies now do this all the time. They all do it now, and none of them are directly thanking that inflection of that we got in the early 90s of Hong Kong-influenced cinema and filmmaking. And some people appreciate it. But there's a whole generation that just think this is how it's always been. And this stuff we see today, pioneered by people like Woo and Jet Li, and Jackie Chan, and a whole bunch of other people that don't get near the credit they deserve. So that's all I'll get off my pedestal now.
Can I
and let Brandy have it?
The response that I'd like to provide the minority party's response.
Please, just, yes.
Actually, I think
Jordan, you're on the floor.
I think you're making a really good and valuable case for that thing we talk about, where you've got to put the movie in its place. You've got to watch a film like this from the perspective of 1992 and not 2012.
Right.
Like, that is just key.
Yeah.
And I think the only real things that we're going to hammer out as being just god freaking awful in this film are the things that you can't. There are certain things in this film that it's practically impossible to look at it and say, it's okay. This was before people knew any, like before John Woo knew anything about making movies or something. I don't know. Of course he knew everything he needed to know about making movies. Right. He just did some weird freaking stuff.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Mm-hmm. We're going to make fun of that.
Yeah.
But you're right. You put yourself in the right perspective, and a film like this is a great film.
It's also important to note, the day I went on this theater visit to see this movie for the first time with my wife in 1992, we'd only been married, a month maybe.
Wow.
Something like that. We go and see this thing. We went to see this thing. And I remember most people in the theater, like, what the hell is this? Why is there, what's with the slow motion? You know, people were really weirded out by the style.
Back then?
Oh, yeah. Because, in 92, this stuff just didn't happen here. And so they'd see this stuff and they were just flabbergasted at why this was happening. Why would you film this way? And I remember my friends after going, I don't know. It's all the slow motion and weird karate stuff. What's this? What's going
weird
on?
Karate stuff.
And I remember thinking, you should be worried about the mullet on display, not the freaking martial arts. And I remember just going, the thing that you're all complaining about, just mark my words, this is going to be the norm. You don't know about The Matrix yet because it's 8 years away. But when that hits, you're all going to be pooping your pants because you'll be used to it by then. And then they'll do the same effing thing and everyone will act like it's just the normal Hollywood thing now. That's all. You know? Ibbot. First time
seeing this.
So I really want to know what you think.
And it's funny because we were, you know, in 93, we were big, go to the movies every Friday night. It was before we had Tristan. We had a couple friends who we'd always get together with for dinner on Fridays. Then we'd go and see the you know, one of the new releases. Mm. And I remember even a couple times we'd go and we'd go back to back and we'd see two of the new movies that came out. Oh, heady days, those 90s when movies were $6, right? Where was that? Where the hell was I going with
I don't
that?
Know. You were saying, well, that's
oh, but for whatever reason, we missed this one. And we saw other Van Damme movies. We saw Time Cop. We saw...
Universal Soldier?
No, didn't see Universal Soldier. We saw, I can't remember what else we've seen. But we saw other Van Damme movies. We were aware of what Van Damme was. And for whatever reason, we just missed this one. And I'm so bummed that I didn't get to see it in the day when it would have been new, in its day, when it would have been, when all the things that it kind of was doing mm-hmm. didn't look like they do now, where you've seen them all, where, you know, where right. those are, were all that slow motion, where if the movie was played at regular speed the whole way through, it would have been 29 minutes long.
Right. You're absolutely right. I think that's true. That's funny you say that. Also, it's we're without any refinements to the formula back then. It was like it was in its raw energy stage.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And where I wouldn't have said, well, you know, they got the mullet right there. I saw a guy just, you know, serving me buffalo wings at Bennigan's just a minute ago with that same hair. But now you can't say right. that.
You can't do it.
Thing
now.
Of the past.
Dunaway, you'd seen it a bunch.
I've seen it tons of times. I'm kind of surprised that Scott likes this. This kind of reminds me a lot of anime and. I'll refer to the
anime.
Spinning.
How does this remind you to anime?
Let's watch an arrow close up with a moving background that is nondescript, and let's watch that thing fly at the air about, I don't know, 30 times during the movie.
And come on, point. Yancey Butler's eyes, come on.
Right, I mean, come on, okay. So anime.
All right, dirty little old man. Okay, got it. You know what? You're not wrong. All those elements are there. Somehow right. It still worked for me. I think part of it is maybe it just needs to be live action, and I'm okay with those dumb tropes.
Right. And I don't know. And just the, as always, it is funny now. It cracks me up now because I know who Van Damme is. But really, for back in the day, he's such a cocky SOB. I mean, it is over the top. Yeah.
Well, whatever. I mean, that was still carryover from the time.
He's
right?
just now. They're just now getting him into the Expendables 2 because the first one he's like, no,
I don't want to be here.
Like, you're like, come on. It's like, no.
I don't believe that this will be.
Nah. My forehead goiter is too big. I'm not doing
right. Oh my gosh.
It was pretty amusing. Forehead goiter. It was pretty amusing that they decided to work with his almost like they had planned ahead. To work with his awful English by making him Creole, which it worked even worse. Like, as anyone who ever watches True Blood knows, you either get it right or you just sound ridiculous compared to others.
Yeah.
That's strange.
This is my Creole accent. Listen, this is my Spanish. I'm doing Spanish right now. Listen, I'm doing Italian right now.
So Lance Hendrickson, though, one of my favorite actors ever.
Bishop.
Bishop. He's fantastic, and this just eats up scenery. Yep. Arnold Vosloo is his right-hand man who I could watch do anything, and sadly he's not in enough things for me to point out that I love him in, but right. he's, you know.
Right. He can do anything, like play this or a mummy.
Or a mummy. Pretty much two things, yeah. You find him in stuff. You'll find him on an episode of Law & Order, or you'll find him in some other movie as a small bit part or something, and every time... I find him just magnetic and really interesting. He's a South African actor who you all know. Anybody out there listening who hasn't seen The Mummy or has seen The Mummy, you've seen him. He's The Mummy.
Right.
But he's really good as henchman freaking Van Cleef, whatever his name was.
Yeah.
He never
seems to age.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah,
you're right.
Right.
He's almost 50 and he looks the same.
Right.
The same guy. I don't know what he's doing, but.
Yeah.
Oh, what was it? Who was the fat porno guy? What was his name? Randall.
Gosh, they say his name a lot. It kept catching my attention every time.
Randy, I realized we jumped to you, then I forgot to even ask the question. Your first viewing, or is this?
This is my first viewing.
Oh,
this film.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, and I've seen pretty much every John Woo since, but again, in their proper time.
Right.
This is also the first time I've gone back and watched a John Woo film, including like Face Off. I kind of leave stuff like this as dated as it's going to be. I don't like to revisit, but I did, and okay.
I love Face Off.
I hate Face Off.
I could eat a peach for hours. Come on, man. That movie's awesome.
That was just on HBO the other day, and I came upstairs. I was making lunch. I was like, oh, Face Off is on. It was right in the scene where Nicolas Cage is talking about how he wants to rip the guy's face off.
Right.
And they say it like five times. You want to rip his face off? Yes, I want to rip his face off.
But he was on drugs, remember? He was like all stoned, and Nick Cassavetes is there, and... Oh, I love Face Off.
Keep repeating the name of the movie.
I freaking love Face Off. Oh,
Seth Green would be going, woo! That's his thing. He cheers whenever they say the name of the movie.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. Well, that's that. John Woo, I mentioned, he directed. Written by Chuck Pfeiffer, or Pfeiffer. I don't know how you say that name.
Right.
Pfeiffer? Something like that. It's a P, probably silent P. pee.
And don't forget, Yancey Butler was in Drop Zone.
She was. She was. Right. She was also. Did you guys ever see
Witchblade?
Witchblade. Yeah.
Yeah,
but loved her, but loved we've pretty much seen her two biggest films.
Yeah,
no. Biggest eyes. Oh, films.
Oh, yeah. She's got some bug eyes for sure. You know what? She looks pretty good today. You guys seen her? And she looks great today.
I think the eyes thing for you guys is mainly her huge late 80s, early 90s eyebrows.
Yes,
those eyebrows were trying to.
I don't think she actually had particularly large eyes. I just think
no. She had very large eyes. She had very big.
She is one year younger than me. I'm looking at her photo on IMDb. She does not look 1 year younger than me. She looks like she's still in her 20s. But those eyebrows.
Yeah, she looks totally hot compared to you.
I think. But I think, was she in Kick-Ass? This thing says she was in Kick-Ass. What did she do in Kick-Ass?
Yeah, she was in Kick-Ass. Yeah.
I don't remember who she played, but whatever.
Oh, my.
Anyway, Yancey Butler. So, yeah, she's in this. She's the main chick. She'd been in her 20s then. Here's some fun trivia for you. The ear-cutting scene. Where he snipped off his ear.
Right.
Included by director John Woo as a friendly homage to Reservoir Dogs, which included a trademark Woo Mexican standoff. I tried to find some supporting evidence of this, and apparently a huge reason he even got this deal was Tarantino making the case for him.
Sorry, friendly homage?
Well, I like that idea.
Couldn't he have used the song Stuck in the Middle with You or something? That sounds friendly.
And then put him in a trunk?
Yeah. Is there another kind of homage that's unfriendly?
I don't know. How do you get much more unfriendly than cutting a dude's ear off?
Yeah.
Let's see. Originally earned an NC-17 rating for violence. It was resubmitted to the MPAA several times before it finally earned an R rating from that terrible reviews board. I would love to see the cut stuff because that would be fun. I don't know what they would have cut. It's still a pretty violent movie, but so over the top and comic bookish that I don't know how you could be offended by any of it.
I love the idea. And I was reading some of this in the trivia. I don't know if this is something you're going to cover, but I did not know this about the movie, but they had Sam Raimi as a backup director because they wasn't sure that Wu could do an American film. This is his first one. And I just thought it was interesting to be back.
Raimi's one of the big supporters. He was one of the ones that really wanted to get him over here but stood in the wings as producer. He's still in the credits as producer, but probably was like, okay, well, we know how to make movies if something goes weird. I mean, that's what I mean. It was so electric, this idea of what are these Chinese guys doing to movies kind of thing that was going on. I loved that. I freaking loved it. That was a really cool time to just see that. It was a big change in action. I could go on, but I already did.
4 years later, there was a movie called Double Team with Jean-Claude Van Damme. Dennis Rodman and Mickey Rourke. I got to see this.
I'd watch that.
Oh, you haven't? You haven't seen Double Team?
I haven't seen it either, no. I'd watch that.
Oh, we should see if we can work that into Film Sack.
All right.
Yeah, didn't even know it existed until I saw this movie poster.
Squeeze it in.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. The black dude is the sucky dude from Me Love You Long Time.
The black.
What?
The guy, the homeless dude, the second homeless guy that went on the run got shot there in the middle of this freaking the French Quarter. Yeah. He was that guy. He was that officer that was where the prostitute came up and said, "Oh, Me Love You Long Time, sucky, that whole scene."
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I know that.
I did that work on my own, by the way. That was not in the trivia. I went and looked.
Nice.
Because I knew he was familiar, and I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that. So check this out. Lance Hendrickson. He still says Hard Target is one of his favorite films that he ever worked on. Here's a quote from him. He especially enjoyed working with John Woo, and he said, quote, "He let me do some real work as an actor. No, never came. Oh, the word no never came out of his mouth. It was always, what could this be? More like, what could this be? And one of the greatest directors ever. Gentle, communicative, supportive. He caught everything that was important to me as an actor on film and, oddly enough, used the lot. Times I've seen my work and gone, crap, they cut the behavior, the motivation. The only reason I made the movie in the first place, but not John. All my major scenes were intact." That's kind of nice high praise there for John Woo.
Right.
I've heard this before. Including he's like the nicest guy ever.
Including the part where Lance was kicking in the air with his foot.
What's weird is Lance Hendrickson actually got a Saturn Award for Best Supporting Actor for Hard Target, which Saturn Awards are for science fiction, fantasy, and horror.
That's great. Give it to him. He deserved it. He was great.
Right, but I guess it's horror. I mean, would this be considered a horror movie?
He's
called a thriller.
Always been sci-fi to me ever since.
Normally. No,
there's nothing science fiction in this film. There is no sci-fi.
And there's nothing fantasy in this film either.
Everything's fantasy fiction. How about that? Because there's some stuff going on. It's not physically possible. But normally you don't lump that into fantasy, I suppose. That's a weird award to get, but he deserves something.
It's a weird award to get. Especially for a guy who is in Aliens and Millennium and stuff like that. And this is the one he gets the Saturn Award for.
Yep. He was in Sam Raimi's Quick and the Dead a couple years later. Played Ace Hanlon, one of my favorite characters in any Western ever.
Right.
So if you guys ever see that, you'll want to watch for him. He's fantastic in it. Let's see what else. That's it on the trivia for now. What else? Let's see. Oh, just some things I noticed. Yancey Butler, a little too shocked at her father being homeless and a little too... Was that what it was like in 1992 when someone would say, what are you doing here? What's going on? I haven't seen my father in a few years. Oh, well, what brings you to New Orleans? Well, I think he might be homeless. Quiet, you guy. You're like, she's so scared to say it. Was that a thing?
In all of his postcards to me, he said he was a shopping cart technician. I never put two and two together.
I love the first huge trope for me in this film.
Oh, wait. I want to play it.
It comes right off of that, which is she just, it's a chance crossing of paths between her and Van Damme.
Chance.
Right?
You said chance.
Yeah. It's purely random that they cross paths.
You mean Chance, the character named Chance? Okay. Yeah. Just making sure.
Yeah. But she's trying to find her father, and Van Damme saves her life from some muggers and kicks them all in the ass and breaks one of their arms. And then he goes down to the docks and she follows him where he's going to try to get a job on a boat. And turns out he owes the dude, the company running the boat, some money, so they won't let him work unless he pays to work. And it's kind of a conundrum. Only 30 seconds before it's revealed to him that he owes some people, a couple hundred bucks, she offered him a couple hundred bucks. This is like the worst use of that perfect timing trope I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, pretty convenient.
It's almost like he got filmed turning around in slow motion going, she just offered me that money.
Right. Yeah.
I guess I have to go work for her.
Yeah, but then you get that part that's like the camera and the guitar and the slow-mo, like the truck in front of her slow-mo's out of the way. You get a glance, a half of freaking Chance's face, and then it cuts again closer to more of his face, and everybody's moving in slow motion. It's like the Mythbusters are doing an experiment over there or something. It's great.
That is actually a great scene. I mean,
it doesn't need to be like they go overboard. It's like John Woo's like, we could have him just turn around and say, still want me to work for you, but no,
right,
we're gonna do this.
Did you guys all my brain just drained.
I've been
That's
doing
so
this
weird.
All day. Don't worry about
what's
it.
What's going on with me?
I don't know. It's not just you. Brian, I forgot. I'm gonna go with
but you can deal with what happened there, what Randy talks about, but I still had trouble buying into the she's gonna get mugged by 10 guys because she's flashing some fives and a one. I mean,
the whole movie is full of crap. Like that's
the
some
money.
Of the, stuff.
The money is just Wu had no idea what money was in America.
Yeah, that's some of the stuff that I think needs to be an exception to the look at it from its own perspective. That there's some really ridiculous stuff. Like, she first goes to report her dad missing. She goes in the police station, meets a cop, the only person in the room for some reason. And this
tickets because they're picketing outside because they're on strike. Right. The cops are. Yeah.
So she comes walking in as this one lonely cop is celebrating her birthday very privately. And to continue privately celebrating her birthday, she puts a cake in a drawer and hides it from the strange woman that's walking in. And there is a lit candle on the cake. And it just you can't pay any attention to what happens after that for the next 2 minutes. You're just wondering when the desk is going to catch on fire.
Yeah, I remember feeling that way the day I saw it. I was like, what are they going to do about this cake? It's clearly still in there. It's clearly still burning. Right. That seems
like
a mistake.
Good. That actually isn't a mistake. This actually heightens a scene. I actually dug that a lot. But yeah, I'm with you, Randy. It
finishes the scene when you give me something to worry about and I stop paying attention to the
music. Well, so you can't pay attention to anything.
It's not
that.
your It's not his fault, your OCD. It's just, it's supposed to heighten the scene. But I agree with you. Yeah, I was the same way. I'm like, oh my God.
Well, here's the funny bit about that whole thing. It's like, maybe this is why we won the fantasy award, because in Hard Target land, there's the one cop, mousy, well-dressed lady from Candyman. Remember her from Candyman, mm-hmm. by the way?
Yep. Right. Yep.
Wearing, I don't know, Lane Bryant, ready to help at a moment's notice. And that's all it is. That's all the law there is. I've been to New Orleans. In fact, I'd just been to New Orleans like the week before we saw this movie. And I have my own problems with New Orleans, but it's not a ghost town. It isn't a place where aren't people.
Let's just say in this place, it's one place that this is all happening a microsecond before the 911 network goes online. Still, if you were running down a crowded street and people were trying to kill you and you went to a phone and pressed zero, you would be able to get to the cops.
Right. You would.
See, this very much, a lot of this stuff really reminded me of those John Woo's movies before he came to America. I mean,
that's
the kind of story that, you know, it's kind of how things are presented in those martial arts
films. And aren't they very Western-y? Like, it's a Western.
They're very Western-y.
Yeah, the whole thing is really, that's maybe, again, why I like it, because, you know, guys, I love these Westerns.
Right.
It's like a spaghetti Western. He's this outlaw, but wants to do good for everybody. He's got, you know, there's no cops around. It's just a big Wild West kind of sensation where nobody's there to help. No cops. It's just, you know, Randall, the porn purveyor, and, you know, the bad guy and the good guy and the lady in distress. I mean, it's really boils down to that. And I, for whatever reason, I just respond to that simplicity, and there's nothing complicated about this movie. There's nothing in it where you go, what a very nuanced performance by anybody. In fact, you walk away going, what a terrible accent from freaking Diabetes over there, this terrible French Cajun accent. That was a weird pick, putting Wilford Brimley in your movie. But
I love it. I thought it was perfect.
But really? Yeah, it's just so simple and so pure in that way that I just can have all the fun I want without worrying about, you know, too much serious. Like, you just can't take it all that seriously. But then you kind of can. Then you can kind of root for stuff that is stupid and over the top. And when you get on that bike, and when you got on that motorcycle and balanced on it, I made this sound. I went, woo! And before that, when he kicks her off the back so she won't get hurt by hitting the gas and making her pop off the back like that, I made that same sound. Like, stupid little things are awesome in that movie.
Did you ever hit rewind and look at the stuntman that was all the Van Damme stunts?
Clearly,
it's so obvious.
It really looked like that scene in Spaceballs where you catch their stunt doubles and he's got a mustache and Van Damme didn't bad. It was awesome.
It was pretty bad for sure.
I remember the other day, even this is all the way back when I wanted to see this movie, and when I went and saw it, me and my friends we made fun of the motorcycle scene because we knew it was just so absurd that he was standing on that motorcycle and doing the stuff he was doing. We knew it was absurd back then, and we still just said, okay, why not?
You accept that reality in the world you're in.
Right.
Because that world is a world where a car can tip over, and if you shoot it twice, it will blow the thing to billions of pieces.
Oh, it was okay. All right. First of all, it was a full size SUV. And secondly, it had 1,500 pounds of fuel in it. I mean,
at least.
Yeah, but I'm bringing up Mythbusters again, but somebody proved that you can't shoot a car's gas tank and have it explode.
Oh, yeah. You just proved that, everybody.
Yeah. And I love that. That this movie just accepts these realities and says it's great. Like, the guy's lived out in the sticks making moonshine his whole life. That's where he's lived. It's all clearly, we're looking at hundreds of years of this guy and his family and his heritage in this old crappy part of the woods in Louisiana. But he's willing to blow that shit up at a moment's notice.
Right, just to save.
That's a world I want to live in.
Yeah.
You know, where a shotgun has the range of a sniper rifle. In a Mardi Gras graveyard. I haven't even mentioned that yet. How amazing is that place? Oh, I'm telling you guys.
Some pretty awesome use of shotguns in this movie.
Yeah.
I've not seen many films that go in for the shotgun like this film does.
And that weird one that Hendrickson had where you'd aim it with his arm.
Yeah. Very like an antique sawn-off.
That was great. Ah, that kind of stuff. And then John Woo did that thing he always does where at some point in your movie, forget about the doves and all that. Those are all John Woo tropes. But the one time, there's always going to be a scene where good guy and bad guy back up against a wall. He's on one side. He's on the other. And they're going to have a conversation before they blow each other up. awesome.
Right, like that's nothing's awesome going like. Thing. It so works. You don't really think you're gonna win? No, I don't. Yeah, I think you're gonna lose. All right, okay. Well, ready? Well, kinda, 1, 2, 3.
It kind of boils down to that.
Right, time's back in.
But they did it in Face Off. They did it in the what was the one out in the one with Travolta?
Arrow, Broken Arrow.
Broken Arrow. They did it in that. Like, they do it in everything he makes, and I don't know what he's done lately, but probably not much. Didn't he do like a World War II? Oh, he did the World War II one where the Native American guy was.
Al Kilmer, the Thunderheart?
No. It's more of the Native American guy. And I forgot the actor's name, but he would figure out what the Nazi codes were.
Right. Windtalkers.
Windtalkers, that's it. And that was not a very good John Woo movie. But why? Because it didn't have any John Woo stuff in it. It was mainly just a movie, kind of a historically accurate sort of semi-fictional portrayal of this thing in the war. But nobody ever got back to back and went, so what are you going to do? Yeah, I think I'm going to shoot you in the face. Like none of the slow motion stuff you're used to from him. Like it all kind of went to poo. So I don't know if he got beaten down by Hollywood and now he's just not allowed to do this anymore.
No, John Woo spent 2 years making a Chinese war film called Red Cliff.
Oh, Red Cliff.
Then he spent like, I'm sure he took like a year off after that movie because it came out in two parts.
It was Red Cliff 2, yeah.
It was a huge epic that no one in the States has ever seen. And I forgive him, you know, like that what he set out to do with that film is just massive. But then he supposedly has a relatively new Chinese film out since then, and I've never tracked
it down. There's Red Cliff 2 in 09, so that was the two-parter, you're right. And then Love and Let Love is in pre-production, but I don't know what that is. Before that, he did the Stranglehold video game. I remember that whole thing. All the Invisible Children, the Robinsons Lost in Space.
TV movie.
What the hell?
No. After Red Cliff, he made a feature film.
Well, it's not
and it
thing.
Starred... It,
it's something called, there's something in here called Love and Let Love, but it says it's in pre-production. I don't know what that is.
That's not it.
And that's a bunch of Chinese folks. Like, that's the cast in there. Paycheck is the last thing that we would all remember.
Yeah, Paycheck.
And that movie sucks.
Forgot about that movie.
That movie's underrated.
I don't like Paycheck.
Yeah, I kind of liked it, actually. No, that was the Mel Gibson one, right?
No. You're thinking of Payback. No. Payback is fantastic.
Oh, Payback.
This is Ben Affleck, Aaron Eckhart, and Uma Thurman.
Oh, that was shit.
Yeah, it was shitty. It's the Philip K. Dick movie.
Yet another attempt to adapt a Philip K. Dick book.
Yeah.
Just don't.
Paul, listen to this cast, though. Ben Affleck, I forget about that for a second, but Aaron Eckhart, Uma Thurman, Paul Giamatti. These are good actors. Michael C. Hall. I like those guys.
I thought it was a good movie.
I
think it's underrated.
All right, maybe I'll go
watch it. And it's underrated because of Ben Affleck. People just go in with this Ben Affleck hate.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
But then
this is when you kind of hated Ben Affleck, right?
If y'all just want to like kill some time, Hard Boiled, Bullet to the Head, and The Killer. Oh, these are Hong Kong movies he made before coming here. Amazing. There's an 8-minute non-interrupted shot in Hard Boiled that makes that one in we were just talking about this movie, post-apocalyptic. We talked about it last week.
They
Live, the fight scene.
No, the one where they it's kind of the quiet one. It's
how
The Road?
No.
Book of Eli?
No. The other one. We're almost there. Someone said they really liked it.
You're getting closer.
28 days.
The other one. It's the one with the
postman.
No, it's the one where the guy in the future. He first of all, there's a huge terrorist explosion in the beginning of the movie, and he witnesses it. Almost got killed, and then oh my gosh!
Willy Wonka.
Oh! 12 Monkeys.
No.
Oh crap! I thought that was it. No, I can't remember. It's recent.
This is riveting.
Anyway,
radio.
That movie did like a 7 or 8 minute unbroken shot, but I'm telling you, Hard Boiled did it first and did it better, and you should see it. That was my whole point there. That's going to really bug me now. I can't think of that guy's name. Or that movie. That is going to... Man! Right. Wait. Man? Something of Man.
Oh, Children of Men.
Children of Men.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh.
Wow.
Is a really
you
long...
You got to talk about the roadblock scene if you want to really remember
you
that
movie.
You
could have said Pregnant.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, the pregnant part.
Was that on the taboo card?
I forgot. No. I forgot. I forgot about the pregnancy.
is a really long take that big a deal?
Well, it is if you're blowing up half the world while you're doing it, you can't reset.
It's a huge deal. I mean, you're talking about having actors and everything set up. I mean, just
Now, if it's just you running through a place and shooting at people, no.
Is it a big deal when you're watching the film? Like when you saw Boogie Nights and there's that 3-minute single take to the song Best of My Love.
Still haven't seen it.
Like, does that mean something to you?
I still haven't seen that movie, but maybe it would. But it's almost like you have to know it in retrospect and know kind of what that means from a production standpoint. But as a scene, probably not.
I think it heightens because you can't look away. I mean, basically, you're staring almost like a staring contest. So, yeah, I think a long shot like that.
All right. Let me ask you this. Everybody's seen the movie Serenity. In fact, we're not watching it on film set because we've all seen it too many times.
I've seen it 18 times, and that's not a lie.
Is there an enormously long take in that film?
Probably.
See what I mean? Yes. The answer is yes. There's a 4.5-minute long take in that film, and I don't think it made a difference to whether or not you liked
the
movie.
Well, clearly it didn't. I've seen it 18 times, and I still didn't know that. So
the whole movie would be hard.
And people think I'm exaggerating. I've seen it 18 times, and I love that movie.
Ever.
Oh, Brian.
What? Not once.
Brian, it's so good.
I'm holding out because I don't want it to go away.
You want it to stay on the list on the film set.
I still have one thing I haven't seen yet.
Okay. We figure if we go another 115 episodes and we can just keep Scott Johnson from watching Serenity for 2.5 years, he might want to watch it.
Yeah, I want to catch up on it again and remind myself why I love it.
Yeah, there's a 4.5-minute single take at the very beginning.
Yeah, so I don't remember. Oh, you're right.
It introduces you to the whole ship. It introduces you to the whole series.
Right. There is one cut. That's right. I remember this in the extras. There's a cut when he whips around the corner of the stairwell going down to the bottom of the ship. Right. And they cut it right there, but they only cut it because they ran out of set. They had to come into a new set. But it was so smooth you didn't notice. But yes, it's like 4 minutes into that before the cut and like another four. Like through the base. I remember that now. You're absolutely right. I don't know why it didn't feel significant at the time, but yeah.
But by the way, I'm a film aficionado. I am not arguing that long takes are bad. I'm just questioning whether we notice them, whether they mean something to us as an audience.
Well, they mean something. I say they mean something later because you go, oh wow, that's technically very proficient.
I think it's so important to pacing that M. Night Shyamalan does it so well.
Did it?
And
Quentin Tarantino.
You said does. I want to say did. With
it does. Dude,
if you're talking about him, I don't think he's doing. Well, I don't know what he's doing now. What's he doing now?
He's working on a movie.
Signs 2.
He's working before his child. I don't know. He's always doing that. seems like lately. But yeah, I think overall, I notice it. But once again, we're movie buffs and but who's not? Probably everybody who's listening to this podcast is.
Yeah,
probably.
I mean, Quentin Tarantino, his awesome. Long takes have made me want to go be a professional Steadicam operator. Like,
right.
they're brilliant. And Quentin Tarantino demands that his cast do some serious acting while they're.
Plus, he also demands that they all put their toes in his mouth at some point during production.
I also notice it very much when it lacks. Like when I saw The Hunger Games, I thought that it could have used a lot more lingering shots, long takes on characters because I didn't feel like I was connecting to the characters at all because they were just constantly zipping away from them.
Especially the first part of that movie was way over edited and just like snap, snap, snap.
And there's a big saying too that you'll forgive a movie for its beginning, whereas you will not forgive for a bad end. Yeah. And so once we get to go back to that movie, The Serenity, if something happened at the beginning of the movie, easy to forget.
It's almost like Hard Target is the anti MTV generation editing thing. Because it's just everything's
with the
so
exception
slow.
Of the slow motion with the dubs. You can just every time I saw those scenes, I thought of Will Arnett as Joe Bluth, just off the frame, just casting dubs in slow motion. Yeah.
We were just watching that. That's funny. You should say that.
Oh, it's a dog tag. Yeah.
Who would have thought that Hard Target would have been the movie that brought up so much serious filming?
Yeah,
I know. That's what I'm saying.
And we haven't even gotten to mullet discussion.
I know. Let's talk about the mullet right now. So that thing is freaking epic. Like, I don't know that I've seen a mullet. It's got like some kind of permanent goo in it.
Yeah.
It's, like smells like petroleum.
And this is also back when you could actually still wear a trench coat. Can't do that much anymore. And except for the Matrix, of course. But that time has passed.
I think, wait, because it's a fashion goof or what?
Trench coats are now called dusters and they're all over Western films.
Yeah, but they always have been.
True,
not,
but
not necessarily, Scott. Trench coats and Westerns have really come of age. If you look at older Westerns, you don't see a lot of
them. Let's talk about how old. Like, I would say 80s forward, everybody's wearing dusters. Like, Silverado, duster heavy.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. They found their place. And now the Matrix trench coat thing is kind of done.
Yeah, because you look dumb in that, and you look real dumb fighting in it.
It's real hard, exactly. I thought Van Damme looked silly. A couple of times we had to jack that thing up so that he could kick somebody. I'm like, all right.
But that was like, did you notice that scene, though? This is so Western. It's like he pulls up on bad guys who are trying to take that lady's money and whatever $2. Else she was going to give up. Right. And he comes out, and what he does, they're like, I don't think you want to blah, blah, blah. And they're saying, oh, come on, who's talking blah, blah. So what does he do? Flips his coat out slow-mo and holds his pants like a Western guy would a gun, but he's holding a leg that's going to kick that guy's face apart.
Yes.
Awesome.
Very Angelina Jolie at the Oscars.
So awesome. I feel like a little kid when I watch that movie. I freaking love it. All right.
And by the way, I was making fun of his stunt double because his stunt double was just not quite all there, but most of the stuff where you actually see Van Damme throwing kicks, Van Damme throwing punches, Van Damme shooting things, he's the one doing it.
Yeah, and he looks great doing it. Looks better than he ever has. I can't believe this movie came before Street Fighter, you guys. Like, that seems busted.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no kidding.
Doesn't it? It's 2 years later for Street Fighter.
I can see that.
I'm sorry, shit gratifter, according to Ibbot.
Shit gratifter.
There you go. In fact, we could follow that up with, go ahead.
Did we do the Fletcher thing at the beginning?
We haven't. Jeez, Scott.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we're just getting started.
Well, hold on a second. That would require...
It just dawned on me. I'm sorry.
No, it would require me to actually have that somewhere where I can click it. So one moment from now... Okay, here it is. Let's let Scott Fletcher tell us all about this movie. Oh, you know what? This is a perfect time as any to be a little weird. So Scott Fletcher sent me two files this week. One, the intro to this movie, which we'll play here shortly. But before that, I told you guys about this, I think last week or a week or two ago, or maybe it was on TMS, but it was this idea that somebody had taken 56 episodes of Star Trek, the original series, and played them simultaneously on a YouTube video. So all the little screens are going, but the audio is this simultaneous, like Captain's Log nightmare, right? Wow. Just coming at your face. So Scott Fletcher thought it'd be funny if he took 56 of the first Film Sack intros that he ever read and mashed them up into one 42-second thing. Because that's as long. So now you'll know, 42 seconds up to this point, the longest one he's ever done. Because
this
that's the last one.
What would have sounded like if Scott Fletcher would have been in the movie Multiplicity.
Right. So I'm going to play it. We'll play that, then we'll play the real intro. I don't know. This is a nice little break for the show. So hold on. Here it is. Here, check it out. Yeah, just hold on to your butts, all right? Because this takes a second to get through. Halfway point.
Fiction in the fortress, Leo McGaw.
There you go, Leo McGaw. How great is that?
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Anyway, thank
weird
you.
Weird having Fletcher a whole room full of Scott Fletchers.
Can you imagine?
Talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can you can't pick out what he's saying, but you can definitely, even when it's when there's all that cacophony going on, you can pick out that it's Scott Fletcher.
Oh yeah.
Right.
A room full of Fletchers. That is a wall of sound, ladies and gentlemen. All right, here's the real intro. I can't believe we didn't play this. Here it is.
Hard Target. In director John Woo's first stateside outing, a cadre of villains, led by Lance Hendrickson, hunts humans in New Orleans for evil kicks. When Yancey Butler's father disappears, she asks Ragin' Cajun Jean-Claude Van Damme to find him. Van Damme soon discovers the villain's twisted game, turning the hunters into the hunted, brimming with verve. Brimming with verve, Hard Target builds into a bayou blowout. I guarantee
And you weren't, you almost missed that. You almost didn't play it.
I know, we would have played it, but I don't know how we went along that long without playing it.
So good.
Because it's a Hard Target episode. Damn it, it's a big deal today. It's a big deal. All right. Is there a worse place to have your final fight than in the Mardi Gras graveyard?
No.
Everything's flammable.
Everything's scary.
It's the best place ever.
No, that's pretty much, pretty much.
It's the best
place ever. Yeah, you got me. I'm stumped.
All right. It's the best place ever. I'm surprised how much up-close access the police seem to give Van Damme. If there was a body, he could get right up on it.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was so funny. One time, I forget when exactly, but he told the cop, he said, let's go pay him a visit. And I'm like, what, are you not a cop?
Yeah.
Don't tell the cops where you're going.
You're an offshore shipman or whatever.
Right.
What they call them? Not shipman. Offshore.
Shipman.
Seaman.
Wait.
You just want us to say it.
No, wait. There's a term. Able semen. Able semen. That's a higher rate of pregnancy when you have able semen. I love how he dumps the bike. That was great. He's just got off that thing. Let's see what else. Would you ever wear clothes like that or in the Louisiana like that? What did I write that for? You would never wear those clothes in Louisiana like that. What was I saying there? I don't know.
There were several instances of bad wardrobe.
Oh, I know. They're all wearing coats and black stuff. Yeah. I'm like, dude, I've been there. You'll die.
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter what
time
of year it is.
You've got to wear a wicker hat and some kind of Hawaiian shirt. It's not going to happen.
That ain't going to work. The kicked gas can, kicking it in the air and blowing that motorcycle dude out of the freaking graveyard place. That was awesome.
That was awesome.
How cool is Lance Henriksen's fire stunt, dude? Ripping that coat off and it's him under there? There's no stunt double.
Right. They lingered on him. I mean, they want to make sure that you knew that that was Lance freaking Henriksen.
Yeah.
It's like pissed at it.
That was a great scene. Really
this
cool.
coat sucks.
And the funny thing is, I love when you see that in a movie and then the action continues and he keeps acting and right. his hair's got all that that flame retardant stuff in it.
Right.
But they just go ahead and assume that we're as an audience going to just think, man, that would make you so sweaty to right. have all that fire on your back.
He's got some product in his hair.
Right.
So I realize it's pretty much the last trope. Well, second to last trope in the film, but there's such a horrible Lance Henriksen sequence near the end of the film.
What do you got?
For whatever stupid reason, Chance decides to go ahead and take him out with a grenade. Really stupid idea. This is like betraying some deep level of retardation. And he hands Lance Henriksen the grenade, stuffs it down his shirt, I think.
Pants.
No, pants.
Yeah, his pants,
whatever.
Pants, yeah.
Lance Henriksen fishes it out. And then not only does he spend a good long time trying to disarm the grenade and fails when he could have just thrown it the entire time. But John Woo gives you plenty of slow motion during that time, giving you the feeling that it's one of those 5-minute grenades you've never heard of.
Yep.
Right.
Jesus.
But it was great because he pulls that thing apart. He's struggling to undo it. He gets it out. So now it's apart and he goes, and then there's some electric spark between the two goes, boom, and he goes, whoops, and boom, he's dead. It's Hard Target world. They have their own rules.
Right. They really do.
But you're right. He could have thrown that grenade away 6 or 7 times in the time. He
could do it in the back of Van Damme's head who's walking away.
Exactly.
I mean, come on. Stuck in his freaking mullet.
That
would have been
great.
Awesome.
That was great.
I can't believe Randy didn't realize he threw in his pants. I mean, that's so much more emasculating than down the shirt. Down the shirt, big deal.
It's,
yeah,
it's irrelevant to the
nuts off.
It's irrelevant to the silliness of not just throwing.
It's true.
Obviously, Lance Henriksen never played Modern Warfare because you
no,
just
because that was Lance's Hard Target. Come on, it's the name of the movie.
Hard Target. Right. Finally, it's all making sense.
Really?
Also, what else? Could Bishop have a worse gun? Oh, you having to aim with your arm? I mean, the gun was cool, but that's, one bullet at a time.
One
you got to pull it out of your pants.
Hold on, reloading. Hold on.
Yeah, that seems stupid. I get it, though, because in Woo land and in Hard Target land, it's much more important to look cool than it is to be practical. Oh,
absolutely.
Or dumb, as Randy pointed out. All right. Well, you want to do some clips? Let's do clips.
Yeah.
Here are some clips. Let's start with this one. Makes it to, oh, it's some dialogue about the first victim of the great hunt that's going on, the being able to hunt a man. How many movies have we had where this is the theme? Is this the first one?
We never saw this one.
Dangerous Game. We want to see.
Yeah.
So this might be it. But anyway, here it is.
If he makes it to the river, he's won. We cannot allow that to happen, Mr. Lopak.
Yeah, don't do that. Freaking rich business.
Right.
It's like a drug.
It's like a drug, isn't it? To bring a man down.
What are you referring to? Oh, yeah, bringing a man down. Yeah, yeah.
Could listen to him say anything, anytime. So great. He's so heroic in Aliens, too. You forget how awesome that character is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. I hope Prometheus has. So I know what's-his-name's a synthetic in that. Magneto.
Right.
What's his name? You guys seen that viral video? Oh.
I haven't seen the viral video yet.
Have you seen the one where he's...
No, I haven't seen the viral video.
Okay, I'll send it to you when we're done.
You kind of... No. I'm gonna put my foot down here. You don't want to watch the Prometheus stuff.
Yes, you do.
Before seeing this movie. No, this is a film you do not want to watch before you watch.
Listen, anti-fun. I say... I say you should. Wow. It's nothing to do with the movie. It's all about... You have to just see it. You have to see it. You know what it reminds me of? You know how Valve put out Portal 2 videos before, and they were like
different,
that?
Totally different. There is a video on YouTube right now that has taken all of the footage that they have released for Prometheus and edited it all together in this long 10 minutes. 10 minutes! And it's like you're watching the whole film.
Well, that I don't recommend. The viral video has got no trailer stuff in it at all. It's this fake corporate video from the future of this place that makes synthetic humans. And it's all about that. It's got nothing to do with the storyline of the movie. It's totally not that. So if you're looking to avoid spoilers, I don't think this is.
So you're a really big fan of Michael Fassbender?
I love Michael Fassbender.
Michael Fassbender, that's it.
I think he's great.
I think I probably can predict everything in Prometheus.
You think so?
You ever watch that TV show Shame?
No, it's Shame, not TV show. It's a movie, right? I thought it was a movie. Shame? Yeah, that movie he's in. It's called Shame. He was supposed to get a Golden Globe for it or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have not seen Shame.
Naked, isn't he?
Yeah. I didn't realize it was a movie.
It's a movie, 2011. Him and Carey Mulligan, and it's got a 7.6 on IMDb, and it's him naked most of the time. It's about a guy. It's a guy who's like sex addicted. And
right, this is the film that led to Charlize Theron saying that she would be happy to participate in anything that involved his penis.
Yeah, she was impressed with it. Nice.
And there she goes. She's in Prometheus with him.
Okay.
What do you know?
I can't wait to see that movie. Anyway, moving on. Where the hell are we? Oh, here's this one.
Clips.
What did he? Oh no, wait. What did I just?
If it makes.
Okay, I did that one. Here it's. Okay, here we go. Okay, just a reminder that music didn't stop. In the it kept going.
Right.
Oh, that's terrible. What did he say?
How's that gumball chance?
A tragedy. The coffee was tolerable, though.
It ain't free, neither.
The coffee was what? I know he said tolerable, but come on. One more time.
How's that gumball chance?
Wait, one more.
The coffee was tolerable, though.
The coffee was tolerable. See, John, you can't have John Woo direct him. John Woo didn't know English then.
Sounds good. Let's go.
Sounds good. Next scene.
I understand perfectly. Go, next scene.
Way more slow motion. Do it again. favor going to be done for... Wait, wrong one. Background sounding Reynolds voice laugh. What? Oh, okay.
Burt Reynolds.
So I'm watching this. Yes, I'm watching the scene in the bar. And for some reason, for the first time in my 100th viewing of this movie, I hear Burt Reynolds in the background. Now, I'm not saying it's him, but it's that stupid laugh he does. Mm-hmm. So just see if you can hear it. I cranked it way up, way amplified so you can hear it. So here you go. See?
Wow.
You did not edit that in there.
No, I promise you. I promise it's in the movie.
Oh, that absolutely is. Somebody sound editing added that in for sure.
Had to have. So for those at home who may have missed it, let me play one more time. You can hear it one more time. I'm telling you.
Yes. I think that's even the sound clip that you pulled from Smoking the Bandit. Do you have that?
I don't have it handy, but you're probably right. It's somewhere in here. I don't know where it is. I have so many clips now. I mean, if I randomly pull a clip, let's see what this one is.
What are you?
Oh, that's Scott Fletcher. Hold on. How about this one?
You're calling me a guy named Cyberbob.
What's that even from? Oh, the net.
The net.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got so much stuff. It's ridiculous. Anyway. Okay. Where was I? I don't know where I was. Oh, favor gonna be done for you.
I think the favor gonna be done for you.
Yeah. What? I listened to that three times. It made no sense every time.
Actually, it makes perfect sense. That's so, you know, Cajun.
I think a favor gonna be done. Dude, I know my wife has Cajun family. They never talk.
Oh, yeah. Every time
they always talk like Jamaicans, man.
That's a total Gambit thing.
Favor gonna be done for you, Sherry.
You know what? He would have been a decent Gambit in his prime.
Oh yeah, with this hair too. Yeah,
as far as agility and the stuff that he can do, for sure, but certainly not the talking.
Give him a staff and a deck of explosive cards
and a duster.
Right.
Oh, done. Bad arm break. Oh yeah, it's just a sound effect and it freaked me out, so I capped it. That guy's,
I remember the arm break.
Isn't that great?
That is a bad arm break.
Ugh. So what do you think of this? Celery and strut? Or wood or something. Probably wood.
Balsa wood.
Yeah. That's got to be celery.
Yeah.
No, it's not. There's splinters. Do one more time.
Whatever helps you sleep at night. Hold on a second.
I think it's a thin piece of wood being broken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Balsa maybe. Balsa makes great sounds if you snap it.
Mm-hmm.
Probably about right. Awesome crappy guitar. More music. It's like an episode of Silk Stockings or something.
It's like an episode of Silk Stockings where they got Joe Satriani to come do a little take.
That sounds about right. Gumbus Luigi. What is this? Gumbus Luigi. Let me just play it. I don't remember.
Gumbus Luigi.
Oh.
It's the guy calling out the semen.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
What kind of semen you got? Gumbus Luigi.
Gumbus, get over here.
Gumbus the Seaman.
Gumbus. Gumbus is an awesome name. All right, here is Arnold Vosloo on the scene.
Hello, Randall. I didn't know you had company.
Hello, Randall.
Hello.
I love that guy. Bumper, help her find her daddy. What? Oh, more bad dialogue.
I was helping her find her daddy.
That almost ruins the movie.
If you know what I mean. And I think you do. It's in my pants.
Where's your daddy? I'm helping you find him.
Okay, here's one of the best screams in the movie. This is a fat guy getting his ear cut off. We talked about that earlier. And here's that sound that he makes.
Oh. Oh, that's now for some good reason that was celery.
Gross. Cut me a break.
I cut me a steak.
Oh, steak. Cut me a steak.
I cut me a steak.
Okay. Thanks, Vosloo. I love this guy. All right. Me and my friend Andrew used to say this phrase to each other all the time if we had to go somewhere. So if we had to leave somewhere, we would say, well, I'll tell you what we said after I play it.
Get the out of Dodge. Go today. And tell that girlfriend of yours to point her titties north and step on the gas.
All right, so
wait. Before you say anything else,
yeah,
you are telling me that a real live human being said that to another one outside of this film,
yes,
in the history of the universe.
Not that whole sentence, not the whole thing. So here's what we boiled it down to. We would say, oh, dude, we got to go. Such and such is happening or whatever. And one of us would say, get the hell out of Dodge and point your titties north. And that's where it would end.
Makes me so sad.
That's where it would end.
Makes me happy.
Oh, that's a great line. Hold on.
Get the out of Dodge. Do it today.
Do it today.
And tell that girlfriend of yours to point her titties north and step on the gas.
That is the best line.
It's so stupid.
Every time you play it, it gets worse.
It's so stupid. I love that guy. By the way, he got shot and then lived on to fight more later. Do you notice that? He got major shot in the car as it drove by, died, it looked like. And then he just kept showing up later, and I'm thinking, you guys goofed up. He's not supposed to be around.
He's supposed to be dead.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like, I need a film now to bring balance to the force where some girl tells some other girl to tell her boyfriend to point his wiener north and get out of Dodge.
I know, it's a terrible sexist, awful line.
I don't think it's sexist at all.
It's just stupid.
I think it's outrageous.
It's step on the gas. It's just like, it's like 5 or 10 dumb things to say in a row. You know? Point them north. Do it today. Step on the gas.
Are you saying step on the gas with the titties? Or is a whole separate thing? What?
Not Yancey Butler. All right, moving on. Here's Randall, not again.
Christ, not again.
What is that? Oh, oh yeah.
Christ, not again.
That's Randall getting beat up by Van Cleef.
Always.
I ain't got no change, man. Whoops.
I ain't got no change, man.
That was in the street when he was running with his money belt.
Yep.
And nobody would help him.
Nobody would help him.
There was some nerd. Hyper nerd from the 80s in this movie for some reason.
Traveled down there for college, hanging out with his buddies.
Yeah. It's weird.
Something stupid like that.
Yeah.
It's weird.
All right. There's that then. What else? Good whiskey?
Good whiskey, McJack Rabbit slapped a bear.
Oh, gosh.
Jeez.
That's pretty bad.
Diabetes.
I should have that ready. I don't. Here's another one.
I've got some people after me.
I know. I can smell them.
What the?
So that led to this having just its own place.
I can smell them.
I'm going to play that all the time. That thing's never getting put away.
No way, man.
All of a sudden, he's Sean Penn from I Am Sam.
That's true. What a dumb portrayal. Whatever. I like Wilford Brimley's the man. He's a Utah connection. I've been to his ranch in Hurricane. He's a fantastic human being. But. Why do you hire?
Is it this movie?
It's the wrong pick. You don't want him in there.
I thought it was a perfect pick for this movie. Yeah, I thought it was right on.
Okay, I got a clip here. I can't recognize something about a buffalo. So here.
You are a f***ing buffalo.
That. I remember that. I thought that was hilarious. One of the guys that was helping Chase, of course.
Yeah.
I don't know where it came from.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when John Woo lets the camera roll. Yeah. Just don't.
That's right. You ad-libbed this one, Lance.
It looked very ad-libby. That whole part. Yeah. Here's another good line from Van Cleef.
It appears your trophy is ripping us a new orifice.
It appears your trophy. Man. Don't you want him to just read you children's stories at night, just sit by your bed?
Right. Just like
a mummy. And why did they put the word orifice in the script there? Like, asshole wasn't. This guy can't pronounce asshole.
John Woo already sent us back 18 times to try to get a lower rating, so this is probably one of the things he tried.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Anything. What are they so mad about?
Hey, Van Cleef, say orifice. Yeah. It's not a problem. All right. Something about complicating a life.
What made you want to complicate my life like this?
Oh, man.
He's so good. I loved him in Millennium. It's that TV series.
That might be a new ringtone for my text. Use that. I like that. Lance Henderson takes a poo.
Oh.
There you go.
Oh,
awesome.
That was
a great one.
I think that's after.
Oh,
I think it's. I can't remember right when that happened, but it just sounded like he was, had just moved his bowels.
Yeah, something pleasurable.
Finally, hunting season is over.
Hunting season is over.
And then he pops the grenade, puts it in his pants, shoves him back, and Randy face palms.
Right.
And that is your clips today, everybody. Enjoy. I hope you enjoyed them. Let's move on to the Film Sack Awards. Welcome to Hollywood, everyone. It's time for the Film Sack Awards. We take a film every week and we tear it apart like we just did, and we give it some awards. This film wins the following: Best Use of Louisiana that I've probably ever seen. The I Could Watch Arnold Vosloo Make a Grilled Cheese Sandwich Award. The Yancey Butler Suddenly Wishes She Had Short Hair Award. By the way, because I got all tangled up at the end. But by the way, somebody had tweeted us. Tony Wan tweeted us and said, "Filmsack, I just watched Hard Target yesterday. That woman has one expression, quote, I sharted, unquote."
Right. She does.
That's pretty funny.
That is.
Fat Sweaty Local Porn King Award goes to this film as well. And Star Trek connections include Tom Lupo, who played Jerome in the movie. In the original series, he was a security guard on episodes of The Alternative Factor, The Menagerie, episode 1 and 2. And this was the red shirt that never died. He has that distinction. Never dying. Maybe he's not the one that played the Point Titties North guy. Step on the gas.
No.
Well, because he because he technically is like a red shirt, and he lived, so that's why I thought that was that. Let's sum this thing up in 140 characters or less, gentlemen. It's a Twitter post. It comes to us first from Randy. Randy, how would you sum this movie up?
Hard target. Number of people killed? 47. Number of doves and or pigeons released in slow motion? 47. Coincidence? Yes, actually, yeah, pretty much.
Just got lucky? All right.
Lucky.
Chance. Chance, right. Brian Dunaway.
Hard target. The movie Steven Seagal always wanted to make, but was too damn scared he might get his ponytail caught in that motorcycle spokes. Yeah, didn't do it.
I can smell them.
All right.
I can smell them.
I'm going here, and I'm not going to break it.
Brian Ibbett.
Hard target. The only thing harder is trying to drive a motorcycle with Jean-Claude's ass in your face.
Brian makes a point.
Very well made, that point. Well, here's what I learned while you got the hell out of Dodge and pointed your titties north. Hi, I'm Yancey Butler, and I walked around a movie with my with a cut on my lip that looked like an awful like spaghetti sauce for 45 minutes. That bugged
me. Yeah, did y'all see? I don't know if I was seeing things or what, but in the scene where the porn peddler got shot later on when they showed the windshield, was there not some Krylon red paint in the dashboard just sitting there?
No, definitely.
Okay.
Maybe. They put a little explosive in front of a paper cup full of paint.
Right.
And then just blew it while the actor stood next to the car.
That was awesome. Because Van Cleef had a look on his face like, oh, Randall. All right. Best U.S. Want John Woo film. Go. Argue quick. Who says no? Who says yes?
Hard target by far.
Okay, Randy. Randy.
Oh boy, not hard target.
Okay,
really?
No.
Best U.S. one.
U.S. John Woo film. I can't use like The Killer.
You can. No, you can't. That's Hong Kong. Can't use any of the Hong Kong stuff.
So it gets harder.
I'm gonna go with Mission Impossible 2. And screw you.
I actually like that one. So you won't get any argument from me.
That's not a bad choice. Yeah,
I love that one. All right, Brian.
Face Off. I enjoyed Face Off so much more.
Face Off and Hard Target are both in the same pack for me, and they're my two favorites. So, but I would not want to give short shrift to Mission Impossible 2.
I've said, but mm-hmm. I've had a lot of people tell me that I'm out of my mind for liking Mission Impossible 2. Like, there's something intensely wrong with it, and I've just never noticed.
I completely agree. It's those same people I went to the theater with in 1992 that didn't understand. You just understand. That's all.
Whatever.
Also, here's what else I learned. Randall forgot which ear was cut off and tried to answer the phone.
Nice.
And doves. That's what I learned while I watched this thing. Let's get some emails out of the way. Got one here from Corbin in Colorado. Oh, so there you go,
Colorado
Brian.
Colorado connection.
Hey, Sackers. So excited for Hard Target. I've been waiting since Nerdtacular 2010 for your thoughts on Lance Henriksen being only mildly inconvenienced by the fact that his jacket's on fire. Corbin in Colorado. He said that pretty well.
Yeah, he did.
Also, Skip from Nowhere says, Scott, your favorite Brian James joint. You were talking about Brian James because we had him on the show last week.
Yeah.
Has to be the same as mine. The Lawrence Kasdan joint, Silverado. Brian, you ain't no Baxter either. Kevin Klein, I'm not Holly. I can't even read today. Yes, he's great in that. He's in Silverado. That is correct. And finally, Rob Dalton. Hold on, my phone is making blinking noises.
All buzzing right. noises?
When I was young, I taped almost every episode of Monty Python off the PBS. One fateful day, my brother saw that Ice Pirates was on, and he couldn't find a blank tape, so we recorded over mine with that poo.
No!
So we should watch Ice Pirates is the lesson there.
Absolutely.
My taping of Monty Python from PBS is what eventually led to my running the Monty Python-a-thon in college for years. Like, that was the basis of my Monty Python collection. So I have something very much in common with this person.
What would you do if someone erased your copy? What would you do?
At some point, I had a lot more Monty Python than I could possibly show in 24 hours. Mm. So it would, I don't know.
Guys, Ice Pirates stars Robert Urich.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen Ice Pirates.
No,
you've never seen Ice Pirates? It is fantastically horrible. It's just terrible.
Mary Crosby.
Bruce Valanche.
Angelica Houston. Bruce Valanche. Ron Perlman. John Carradine. Okay. You've convinced us. We'll put this on the list.
Plus, in the South, they call it Ass Pirates.
Ass Road Pirates.
All right. That's it. That's all your emails. Thank you for sending those, guys. Keep them coming to filmsack@gmail.com. A quick note of interest here. Two things. One, Nerdtacular 2012 still happening. As of this recording, which is pretty quick before it goes up, there are still a few tickets left. Please go get them quickly before they're gone. Again, we're doing Masters of the Universe, the He-Man movie with Dolph Lundgren at the event live for FilmSack. Very excited about this. Can't wait to do it.
We didn't do something, and it's Brian's bit, but it just makes me so happy. I got to say, if you want to see a crazy IMDb photo this film from Hard Target, look up Robert Pavlovich.
Pavlovich?
He plays a tiny role in Hard Target, but for some reason in Robert Pavlovich's IMDb photo, it's clearly cut from a picture with him and another person. There's just no doubt when you look at this picture. You go, oh, there was someone else in that picture, and they got cut out. Otherwise, it makes absolutely no sense.
Is he on the second page of credits? I don't see him. Okay, I'll find this guy. Yeah, I want to see it real quick.
It just looks like a bad cut job because he's wearing the same thing in that other picture.
Right.
It's a weird crop.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I will bet you that some other dude right there.
That's pretty funky. Also, John Woo's got a sweet mole on his nose on his photo as well, which you don't really notice normally. It's big, old, fat, freaking mole. All right. What was my other point? Oh, so you may notice, listeners, that this episode of the show is later than it should be. We're going to have it out on Friday. Or if you want to look at it from a different way, it's early for next week. One way or the other, Hard Target is your show for the week. So enjoy that. We got stuff that's totally screwed up our schedules this week, but next week we'll be back with a brand new episode, this time covering Young Frankenstein.
Ma.
Cloris Leachman in her awesomest thing she ever did.
Nice. Just to be clear, next week is May 18th.
Yes, that is correct. Right. May 18th. That'll be, May 18th. You know what that is?
Mother's Day?
No. Yeah. It's a few days after a very important release of a very important piece of something.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to name names. I'm not going to name names.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to have to all stop playing Diablo 3 to record FilmSack.
All right, there's the answer. Quit playing Diablo 3, everybody, because we got to record a show. Young Frankenstein.
Just for an hour and a half.
Yes. So our first Mel Brooks movie. This is going to be fun. Wait, is it our first? No, Spaceballs. Duh. It's our second Mel Brooks movie.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
That's when you know you've done a lot of film sacks, when you can say we've done two Mel Brooks movies.
Right.
So that's coming up, and it is not Men in Tights, so everyone rejoice. That's going to do it, everybody. Thank you all for being here. Filmsack.com is the website. Filmsack@gmail.com is the email address. We're on Twitter @FilmSack. We'd love your reviews on iTunes, so keep those coming. And stay tuned after we're done talking right here, because not only do we get Fletcher quotes from this week, you're going to get some that got missed last week.
Oh, really? Oh.
It's a Fletcherific episode, everyone.
Hey.
Stay tuned for that. So that's going to do it for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Ready.
We'll see you next time.
Bye. Did y'all know that Ted Raimi was the nerd on the street?
Yes. Yep. I did know that. He's in everything his brother ever touches.
I could smell him.
He's a small man.
Ooh-wee. Ha-ha. Sometimes I amaze myself. Good whiskey makes jackrabbits slap to bear. Hard Target. In director John Woo's first stateside outing, your parents named you for a bug? He's an annoying little bleepin' insect, and I want him stepped on hard. Cherry 2000. The man is a psychopathic killer. You guys want some sandwiches? Don't impose your values on me, Sam.
I can smell them.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.